It's a very, very special schus to be back here. To see everybody. Looking forward to spending the whole night, spending time with the guys. To be back in Yeshiva Shalavim. I feel, as I told Rabbi Cohen minutes ago, I feel very at home here. Baruch Hashem, it's been a lot of nachas here and a lot of Torah learned together here. It's a really special schus to be here. I want to let everyone know I'm going to be staying and hope to meet with each and every one of you, Bez Hashem. I read a story recently, or chazered a story recently, of a family. It's a true story, but the names we're going to leave out. Not to be mizvayish, this family. There's a family, we'll call them the Schwartzes, who unfortunately were very poor, but a very special family, tremendous midos, tremendous avas ha-Torah and avas Hashem. And they sent their kids to a particular yeshiva, and they couldn't afford the full tuition, of course. And the yeshiva understood, and year in and year out, the yeshiva gave a very big tuition break. In fact, they often didn't pay anything until they received their tax refund. Then they had a little bit of money, a few thousand dollars they could give for that year. But their children were really such wonderful children. It was really it was a schus for the yeshiva. The yeshiva didn't even feel bad. The midos of their children, the love of Torah of their children. One day, the executive director of the yeshiva gets a call from Mr. Schwartz. Can I set up a meeting? So of course, it was a little bit strange. Why do you want a meeting? You know, we're good, we're all clear. We have to talk to you about something. He says, come in tomorrow, 3 o'clock. Wonderful. Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz walk into the executive director's office, 3 o'clock the next day. And they say to him, we want to know how much money we owe the yeshiva over the years. How much money do we owe the yeshiva? He says, what do you mean? You owe the yeshiva nothing. What do you mean? Year in and year out, the yeshiva is giving us tax breaks, giving us tuition breaks. No, but the executive director says, that wasn't a loan. That was a deal we made. We're happy to have your children. That's what you could afford. We understood. We know you're Erlich. You owe us nothing. They say, but please tell us. Over all the years, how much tuition break did you give us? So it's not important. We need to know how much tuition break did you give. So he looks at his computer. He's trying to figure it out. It's many years ago, and he says, he came out with a number, he thinks somewhere around $35,000. Somewhere around $35,000. They were holding a bag the whole time. It looked a little strange, whatever it was. They take the bag, and they open it up, and they dump onto the desk in front of the executive director just wads of cash. Mamish, like you never saw in your life. $100 bills. Piles and piles. $36,000. They say, we'd like to make up all that we owe the yeshiva. He says, what do you mean we can't take this from you? We know you need this. What is this? They say that a few days ago they went to one of these tzedakah organizations, and they had a Chinese auction, and they had one of these auctions split the pot. And they wanted to give a little tzedakah, they could only afford one ticket. And Mrs. Schwartz wrote on the back of the ticket, if we're zocha to win, this money is for our tuition. And they say, kachavim, we won. We won $36,000. It's for the yeshiva. And the executive director still didn't want to receive it. He says, did you ask a shayla? You need this money. I don't know if I could accept it. Did you ask a shayla? Maybe that wasn't a good neder. Maybe that wasn't... He says, no, this is your money. Last night, they tell the executive director, last night, we called all our children into the dining room. And on our dining room table, We opened up the same bag and dumped all the money on the table. And we said to our children, we just won all this money. And they're all excited. And you know what we're going to do with it? We're using it with the most precious commodity in the world. We're going to spend it on something that's more chashuv than anything else. We're using it to pay for your chinuch. And that's why we're here today. And this is for the yeshiva. Chevra, your parents have sent you to yeshiva. And of course, as families that are machshiv Torah mitzvos, for years they sent you to yeshiva. But let's be real, that was a given. That was a certain achrayus as an Orthodox Jew to send your child to yeshiva. But when you graduate 12th grade already, when you graduate high school, the Mesiras Nefesh to send our children to yeshiva, do you understand how much money this is costing your parents? Do you understand how much sacrifice? And why is that? Because to them, actually, it's not a sacrifice. Because to them, it's that chashuv. It's that important. There's nothing more chashuv, there's nothing more worth spending our money upon. But the question is, do we understand that? If we understand how chashuv it clearly is to our parents, and they're willing to spend all this money to send us to yeshiva, are we machshuv every moment that we're here? Every moment that I'm gifted with this time in my life? Think back. Think back for the past 4 months. What have we done? Yeah, we show up to davening, we show up to shir. What about Bein HaSedarim? What about post-night seder? What about Friday afternoon and Friday morning? What about Shabbos Kodesh? What about Matzah Shabbos Kodesh? How are we utilizing this time that we're gifted with? Are we machshiv it in such a way? Every moment. In what way specifically? Let's learn together. Let's learn together and try to give each other a little bit of chizuk. You know, Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, he taught us to live with the parsha. He said that each and every yid has to live with the parsha. And the parsha of that week is there to inspire us, to give us chizuk to that point in our life. And therefore you open up this week's parsha, parsha's bow, and there has to be chizuk for each and every one of us at this exact point in my life, at this exact point in the year. So you open up parsha Shemos, and we all know the pasuk, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, boy al paro. Hashem said to Moshe, come to Paro, because I've hardened his heart and the heart of his avadim, in order to bring signs and oisois. So there's two major questions we have to ask in this pasuk immediately that you all should have asked when you did Shnayim Mikra this week, if you started. First of all, why is there a lashon bo el paro? What should it say? Vayom Hashem el Moshe, lech el paro. Go to paro. Why bo el paro? Why come to paro? Secondly, what do you mean? Vayom Hashem el Moshe, bo el paro, ki ani echvati es libo ves levavadu levan shisio zesai. It seems to be the reason you're coming to paro now is because I hardened his heart. But then it goes on that I hardened his heart. Leman shisiyo sayele bikirbo. Meaning it's a double. At first it says ki ani echvati libo, and then ani echvati libo leman shisiyo sayi. So you can't have it both ways. So understanding the key in its place, what does it mean? Come to power because I've hardened his heart. What does that mean exactly? What is that telling us? Now you're thinking maybe it means that I've hardened his heart and therefore you're still there. So you have to come to Paro again, perhaps. But maybe there's something deeper here. So you know, in life each and every one of us is very much influenced by our sviva. We're very much influenced by our environment. being in such a precious, beautiful yeshiva with tremendous rabbeim and talmidim. This is hashba just by being here. God forbid, lo aleinu, if we find ourselves in mekaymos that are not so kadosh, find your place ourselves, perhaps in a Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, what some call Saturday night, in a place which isn't in our best interest, which obviously, depending on who we are, that could mean multiple things. It's not just one night that we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. That night, and that tzviva, that environment, can have ashpa on us, can influence us, have long-lasting effects. Our tzviva plays a big role in who we are. In fact, there's a beautiful Torah, some of you I shared this with before, from the Znaim L'Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu was asked to go to Paro the first time, he was a little bit nervous, right? And seemingly, pasha pshat, we think he was nervous because why is Paro going to listen to him and believe him that God sent him, right? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him? What is he going to do? He gives him a maifes, a miracle. What's the miracle? Everyone knows. Take your matzah, take your stick, throw it on the ground, it'll turn into a snake. And then what happens? Moshe and Aaron go to Paro, and this is what they do. They throw the stick on the ground, it turns into a snake, and then right when they throw the stick on the ground, it turns into a snake. We all know this, just a little chazara quickly. All the chachumim in Mitzrayim, all the magicians in Mitzrayim, they do the same exact thing. They take their sticks and throw it on the ground. And basically laugh in the face of Moshe and Aaron. And then, when the stick is taken back, the snake, it turns back into a stick, and then swallows other snakes as a stick. Oh! This is already gewaldic. That's a miracle. That's Yad Hashem. But analyze the psukim. Look inside. Perek Zayim, psukim test through your bays. You look it up when you have the opportunity. In Pasuk Tes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki yedaber aleichem paro lemor tenu lechem mofes. V'amar tel aron kachas matcha v'ashleich levnei paro yi lesanin. Period. All that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him at first, you should tell Aaron, take your stick, throw it before Paro will turn into a snake. Moshe Rabbeinu initially is not told at all the secondary miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu initially is not told at all, and then that snake will turn back into a snake and swallow the snakes. It's only in the next few psukim when they actually perform this, and all the Chartumim Mitzrayim do what we spoke about, that we find, Vayivla Mate Aaronus Matosam. But that's not told to Moshe originally. Moshe Rabbeinu, think about it for a moment. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the palace of the king. Moshe Rabbeinu was well aware of the black magic, of the sorcery, of whatever was going on in Egypt at the time, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was therefore seemingly well aware that the Chatumim Mitzrayim could take their sticks, throw it on the ground, and turn into snakes. Probably when Moshe Rabbeinu was 5 years old, they had a birthday party in the palace, and all his friends came over, and you know, Batya made him a birthday party, and all his little friends came over, and what did they do? They probably got the Chartumim Mitzrayim to throw their sticks and turn into snakes and woe them, right? That probably happened. It's very possible. Okay, I've never seen a medrash like that, but it's definitely very possible. So Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take your stick, throw it on the ground, and it'll turn into a snake. Shouldn't Moshe Rabbeinu have said, God, seriously, that's the miracle you're giving me? They're going to all make fun of me and do the same thing. Now again, the second part of the miracle is tremendous, incredible. But again, that wasn't told to him initially. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say anything back? So Zalman Tzoratzkin explains, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu was worried about? Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that he's going to come to Paro. And what's he asking for initially? He wants to leave Mitzrayim and go daven with his people for 3 days to our God. You know what he's worried? He's not worried whether Paro is going to believe him that God sent him or not, because all the miracles in the world won't necessarily convince Paro to that. Either Paro will believe or he won't believe. You know what he was worried about? He's worried Paro will have a great claim back, great taina back. You know what Paro is going to say? Paro is going to say back, your people want to daven? They were bementes sharituma. They were the lowest of low. Halalu of the Zarv, halalu of the Zarv. They were serving idols. They were in the all the mamish, the worst, lowest of places in Mitzrayim. And Paro said, your people? They're Egyptians. Walk like an Egyptian. They're not looking to, in any level, they're not looking to daven. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, take your matah, take your stick, tell Aaron, that stick, that matah had Shem Hashem on it. That matah was one of the holiest, most miraculous entities that was ever in the universe. That matah, Mishnah tells us, was created of the last creations of the world, Bein Hashmashos of Erev Shabbos, during Sheshes Shmei Bereishis, together with the earth that swallowed of Korach, together with the talking donkey, together with the Shamir, all those miraculous things. Take that matel kim kodesh kedoshim. When it's in your hand, when it's in Aaron's hand, kodesh kedoshim. Throw it on the ground in front of Paro. At the ground of Mitzrayim. What was Mitzrayim? A makom of tumah, a makom of steeped in the complete antithesis of kedusha. Zima and tumah. What happens when it hits the ground of Mitzrayim? Immediately turns into a nachash. What's a nachash represent? The root of all chet, chet et adas. Pick it back up, right back into Matah Elokim. Meaning what, Paro, you're right. Right now, our people are Oiv Devot Zar, Manta Shar Tuma. That's because they're on the ground of Mitzrayim. They've been influenced by their surroundings in such a way. But if I take them out, if I put them in a good environment, within 3 days, they'll already be serving Kodesh Baruch Hu beautifully. The way our environment affects us. And each and every one of us needs to think about this and needs to understand this. A lot of us in this room are thinking now about what are we going to do this summer? Now we're steeped in Kedusha, we're learning. What are we going to do this summer? Are we going to continue in a Sviva of Kedusha? Next year and beyond. Our environment, our Sviva plays a very big role in who we are. Not just having a good Chavrusa, which is so important. And not just having a Gemara, which is so important. Which are more important in ways. But our environment plays a very big role in who we are. And we can't forget that. Someone I was very close to, I don't want to give any too many details, but learned when he was in yeshiva, one of the top yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael for 2 years. And then he went on to learn in the Mir, Shana Gimel, was chavrusas with one of mamish, the top gedolim in the Mir. Two siddurim a day. His father was a big donor. Okay, sometimes you have some good ends. You got to know when to use that, right? Two siddurim a day. His name's nowhere. A big on of his father. You're not going to see his name anywhere in the mirror, so you won't put it together. You have no idea. I know personally. I remember many a times with Nassim Zvifinkel talking about his father. Also Benister, but I knew it was his father because he was my close friend. And then he said, it's time to go into, he wants to, okay, he learned 3 years, he's stuck, he's ready. I remember he came back from my chasana, from Eretz Yisrael. He wouldn't take off his hat, the entire chasana. Again, not that that's important on any level. I'm just giving you a taste of where he was holding in a way. So then he says, you know what? He came back, he went, fourth year in Eretz Yisrael. But then it's time, he wants to go to college. His father's a big businessman, he wanted to go into business. So he's going to go to one of the top business schools. Where is he going to go? He's going to the University of Pennsylvania. But of course he's going to sit and learn. And of course, it wasn't 6 months he wasn't Shomer Shabbos. It wasn't 6 months. Baruch Hashem, today he is Shomer Shabbos. But the way a Sviva could have an effect on a person. The way one's environment could have an effect on somebody. So we have to understand Moshe Rabbeinu is being asked to continuously go to Paro. Continuously go to Paro. Paro was, if Mitzrayim was the Yisoid of Tumah of the time, Paro was the Melech of Tumah, the Melech of Zima. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe go to Paro, as much as he knew he had to do it for Klal Yisrael, Moshe starts to get a little bit afraid. Could he handle that? Could he handle that tzviva? Could he end up constantly going back to Paro? Being in that environment of such an individual so steeped in Tumah. And he was afraid at this point. He was afraid at this point. You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't be afraid. Because I'm not telling you Leichel Paro. At this point, since you have to do this for Klal Yisrael, Eis Lasos Lashem, Boel Paro. Come with me, I'm going to be there by your side. Boel Paro, come with me. I'm going to be there by your side. I'm going to be there with you. And we're going to do this together. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu by your side, you could do anything in this world. But the question is, why now? So that answers why it says Boel Paro. That answers what Moshe's fears were throughout the whole situation with Paro. But why now? We've already gone through seven Makos. And we don't find such a Lashon. Why suddenly does Moshe Rabbeinu need that chizik? Why suddenly does Moshe Rabbeinu need that chizik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm going to be by your side and we'll do this together and you'll survive that tzviva? So we're going to talk a little deeply now. To everyone I know could understand, and we're going to open up a little, some deep tirades. Stemming from the Halakha of Tzaddik, from the Pri Tzaddik, he explains as follows, and some of you have a little bit of background in this, I hope. That in life, each and every one of us, our midos, our character traits, our way of life, in a deep Kabbalistic way, are made up of seven yesodos. The Zion Sviros. We know these, we're a little bit familiar by Sviros HaOmer time. If you pay attention, you say the Tvilos, and you don't just count. And you see there's such a concept of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, Malchus. We're not going to go through all of them tonight. But these seven yesodos of life, the seven midos, are the root of all Kedusha and all that is good in our world, in the way that we live our lives. And lo aleinu, those of us who are not living our life properly could be also the shorish, their seven yesodos of tumah, opposite them. But above that, those are our midos. That's the way we live. That's our maisim. That's our dibor. But above that, there's what that controls even our midos. And above those seven levels are the shorashim of all of it, the roots of all, which is Chachma, Bina, and Das. We're all familiar from Chabad, Chasidus, is all based on Chachma, Bina, Das. If you learned a little bit of Tanya in your life, you've seen this at the beginning, he discusses. Chachma, Bina, Das, our intellect, our mind, that should be sholeit, should be ruling over all of our midos and all that we live our lives. Some refer to Keser, Chachma, and Bina. So Rav Tzaddik explains that the 10 Makos were there to, on some level, be mitzdarif us, or some level to purify us, and to purify the world, and prepare B'nai Yisrael for ultimately for Kabbalah's HaTorah. And therefore each of the Makos was uprooting some of the Tumah of these 10 levels. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus, and Chachma, Bina, Das. And it's working from bottom up. It's uprooting the lowest and getting, or the easiest, let's say, and working from bottom up, in a sense, to the highest points of Tumah. Because Chachma bin Adas being the highest points of Kedusha, Lahavzah the highest points of Tumah. So he explains, Rav Tzaddik, and listen closely, that the first seven Makos were there and were being, obviously on some level, pushing down the mitzrim and pushing down the kochos of Tumah on those seven levels of the Zayim Midos. The last three Makos, the culmination was to purify and get rid of any Tumah in Chachma bin Adas. And that's why specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu at this point, by the beginning of that third Makkah, where we're getting into the heart of where all Tumah comes from Mamish, the Seichel of the Tumah, the Machshova of the Tumah.
Moshe Rabbeinu said, that I can't, I already can't do that alone. That I need you by my side. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bo Al Paro, come, I'll be by your side. That's why specifically now. But let's understand this, what this means to us, not b'derech, you know, ideas that are floating up in the air that we can't really absorb and connect to. Maybe we could say over a little bit. What does that mean, l'maisa, to each and every one of us? You see, this whole world is a molchama. This whole world is a fight. This whole world is a war between that which is good and that which I should be doing. My chachma bin adas, chesed, gvura, tiferet, netzach, hod, yisod, malchus of toiv, and lahavdil olenu, the opposite. It's pulling me down into the world of taiva. The whole world. My heart is being pulled in two directions. We know we refer to alavavchem. We refer to the heart as in plural lashon. Because the heart is being pulled in two directions. My heart is being pulled towards Kedusha, towards wonderful, beautiful, and my heart is being pulled towards Taiva. Towards temptation, towards difficulties. And there's some people that are even able for some time in their life, but of course it's sheker to be try to even live in both worlds. And there are guys and there are people that will sit and learn and daven, and mamish be doing it, and then be on their phone on pornography for an hour at night. Mamish, same person. Same person. Because I'm being pulled. And I want that, and then I'm being pulled towards this. That can't last a whole lifetime. We always end up in one direction. But my heart's being pulled. And I have Paro and I have Mitzrayim, these 10 koiches of Tumah, and then I have the Rabbeinu Shalom bringing the Makos to be Menepach, to turn it around towards Kedusha. And that's my whole life. That fight, that Milchama. So amazing Torah of Shlita Pinchas, he brings down. There's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Abdalad Amabez. You know this Gemara, even if you've never learned Avodah Zarah. So discussed in the Parashas Balak, that Bilam knew the exact moment. Bilam knew the exact moment that Hashem was angry to be able to curse Bnei Israel. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Abdalad Amabez, says, Almai v'yodea das elyon. What does it mean? He knew das elyon, his higher knowledge. He knew to have the proper intent exactly the moment when Hashem is angry at us. So that a klala could be mekayim. Kamazmano rega. Kamazamo. I mean, how much is that time that he's angry? Rega, a moment. One moment. Kama rega, amar memer, bitima ravina, rega kamemra. How long is a moment? It's like the time it's to say rega, basically. A moment is a moment. He knew a moment. There's one moment in the day that Hashem's angry at us, and therefore the klal could be mekayim. We all learned this already. Even if you didn't learn Avodah Zarah, you've all heard this. But Tosfos comes there and asks the following very pasha question. V'im toimer, ma hayo yachal lomer b'shal mu'etas kizos? What could have been said? What could Bilam have said in that, if it's only one moment? As the Gemara says, Rega Kamemra. Tamam is only one moment. What could have been said in that one moment? One moment? What could have been said in one moment? So Tosa says, V'yishlomar hayomer kilim. One word, Rega kilim. Destroy them. That's all he had to say, destroy them. Finished. You don't have to get into some big klala. Doesn't have to be. You know, always we go to tzaddikim for brachas. If we go to a tzaddik for bracha, so we all want to spend time with the tzaddik. and talk to the tzaddik. And sometimes we have eitzas that we want to get, but even for a bracha, we would love a long, good bracha. And the bracha should have detail, and a bracha should, right, Kiva, you know what I'm talking about, right? You need good brachas. Not, you don't want to hear, you want to hear a bracha about your learning and your meals, but Torah, and a bracha about when you get into Parsha Shiduchim, it's going to go well, and a bracha, so much of refuah, you don't want just the word refuah shalema, you want like mamish, it'll be bekarov, and in this way, you want like detail, right? You mamish want detail, make... If the klala that could destroy us is one word, maybe buha is good enough. Maybe it's good enough. Maybe why do we need? That's it. You got it all in there. So v'yesh lomar hayoyim erkilim v'akadosh baruch hu hafcho v'amar melech. Listen to this. You ready, chevra? You ready, chevra? So Taisa says that in this one moment, we could say, Kilim, destroy Bnei Yisrael. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu flips it around, Kilim backwards is Melech. Now we have to open up our Chassidish heart, but you read it, Taisus like this, it's like yearning for it. What is Taisus talking about, right? This is, sorry, for all of us, I don't know who's very lit visionary, who's not, but like, you read it, Taisus like this, it's begging for something here. There has to be some depth in that. Kilim, Melech, the word backwards, what's going on? So the Rizinner explains from the Arizal that they're really, in a certain sense, there are three parts of the neshama that's in a person: the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. The nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama. And the nefesh is the lowest part, the ruach is a little bit of a higher part, and the neshama is the highest part. If any of us have studied some of Nefesh HaChaim, you're aware of this, and you've seen this, and you understand this. It's good I want everyone to learn Nefesh HaChaim. Such a tremendous sefer, mamash, it changed my life. Can't be without Nefesh HaChaim. And not just Shar Dalad, the whole thing. So this is the Nefesh, the Ruach, and the Neshama. And the Arizal explains that the Nefesh is found in the Kaveh, the liver. The liver controls, in a certain sense, our blood. And the liver is the root, therefore, of the lowest part of the neshama. And that's where really, in blood, is where the part of the neshama that's connected to a world of taiva is. A world of temptation. Which we naturally all have. And then the ruach, which is a higher level than neshama, is found in the lev, in the heart. The lev is far. It's found in the lev is the ruach. And we'll get back in a minute what the heart is all about. And then finally, the neshama, the highest part, is in the moyach, in the brain. And the avoid of life, the Rishonim explains, the avoid of life is really this milchama that we spoke about between the kaved and the moyach. Between our taivas and our brain, which knows and intellectually wants to only do Ratzon Hashem, and the void of life and the mecham of life is who has control of our heart. Where's our heart at that moment? Where's our heart? Is our heart going to be involved in taiva, and our heart's going to be involved in Torah and mitzvahs? And both the moyach and the kaved are constantly just pulling at that heart. And a yid who's in Eved Hashem, about Shemayim, his moyach, his brain, his chachma bina das, is going to rule over the heart, is going to be in control of the heart, and all is going to be good. Someone who has the kaveh, the taivas are in control of the heart, going to pull them back down to the lowest of places. So what did we say in Tosfos? That what could be the destruction of Klal Yisrael in one moment? Kilem, in that order, Kilem is Kaf, Lamed, Mem. Kaved, Lev, Mayach. Saying that the whole... When is our downfall? When is our destruction? If that Kaved, the lowest point of who we are, is controlling us, that's the biggest claw in the world. Physically, we'll eventually be destroyed, but spiritually, we're destroyed and we're not worth living. We're not living like we should be living. We're in the lowest of places, Kaved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nepach, Hofcha, Bamar Melech. He says, no, you have to be a Melech.
Each and every one of us has to be a melech. Each and every one of us has to be a melech. What does it mean each and every one of us has to be a melech? We have to, melech is complete opposite. Moyach, lev, kovid. Our moyach is in control of our lev and our kovid. And controlling us, l'toiv, l'kedusha. That's the avoid of a yid, to be a melech and not a kilim. The avoid is to be in control through our chachma bina das. If you look in the Tanya, the most halig sefer of the Rav Shneur Zalman Vladi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tanya in the 12th parak. It's kedai to read the whole thing when you have opportunity. I'm just going to read you a little. It says ki amoyach sholit al alev. The brain rules over the heart. That's how it's supposed to be naturally. V'toldaso v'teva yitiraso. That's how we were created. And that's the natural creation. Shekach notar adam p'toldaso. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it that way and therefore gave us the potential that it should be that way. Shekol adam yochel b'rtzoso. Everyone has to, with their b'rtzoso, with their desire. You have to want it. Shebemochel ispapek v'limshol b'ruach taivos shebelibo. That our moach, our brain, what we know is right, what we know is emes, what we know is how we should be living our lives, can rule over all of our taivas. Shalol lemalos mishals libo b'maisa dibor machshava. So that we don't come to fulfill mishalos libo from the kaved in maisa dibor machshava. Ulasiach daito. Lasiach daito of hesach adas. Not to be involved with the moach. Lagamri, mi taivas libo. When the lev is full of the taivas that come from the kaved. El hefech lagamri. And we have that within us. He goes on to explain more. I'm not going to read you now. Ayin Shom. That's our avodah. Our avodah, first and foremost, is to understand, like Moshe Rabbeinu did, that our surroundings and who we're around has an effect on us. But understand, naturally, we're always pulled between our moyach and our kaveh, between what we know is right and what's emes for us, and lo aleinu, our taivas. And that's what it means as well, now looking back in the pasuk. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, bo al paro. Listen to this. This is a little bit of a drush. Or maybe a lot of bit of a drush, but it's tremendous. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, bo al paro, come with me. I'm going to be by your side when you're going to paro who you're afraid of. And why are you afraid of him? Why do you not want to go alone? Ki ani hichvadeti es libo. Hichvadeti es libo. His heart was covered. Maybe not milashon, it hardened his heart, but covered. His heart of paro was kaved, was based on his kaved. That was his lev. That's where you have to stay away from. So, Baal Paro, I'm going to come with you and take care and make sure that you stay a melech. That you're the melech. In fact, it's Vayom Hashem Moshe, Baal Paro. It's interesting, not melech Paro, because he's not kiyachavni echvadzi, he's the kaved. He's the kilim. You're the melech now. But I'm coming with you to make sure it stays that way. You're the melech. And that's what we mean as well. Every time we dive in the same Billy Beinu Bina Lahavin Al Haskil. You ever think about it? The same Billy Beinu Bina put into our heart Bina should be the same B'mocho Bina. The Bina for our mind, all that we know is Emes, the Moach. The same Billy Beinu, it should be into our hearts. So I should be a Melech and rule over myself, and then my Meisim will flow in such a beautiful way. Maybe Meisa Mem Ayin Shin Hey. Could be Oisios Melech Shoilet Al Halev. Moyach Shoilet Al Halev. Maisa is Moyach. Again, you scramble around a little. Moyach Shoilet Al Halev. My Maisim should be where my mind is ruling over my heart. And that's the avod of each and every one of us. The avod in each and every one of us is to be a Melech. To be a Melech. And to have that my mind is ruling over my heart, and not my taivas, and definitely not my seviva. So I know some of you are thinking right now, this is really what you came to speak to us about? Meaning what?
We thought you're going to come talk to us about making the most of every moment, which we started out with that, don't forget, right? The first story at the beginning. A little bit of chizik in that. Talk about Amelus Petorah, which we'll get to in a minute. We didn't finish it. But some of you are thinking, like, this area, thank God, this is where I've been good for the last few months. Meaning, Baruch Hashem, in a sviva that's so good, and so kosher, and so easy, a lot of times, those taivas, they're not even there. They're not even there. Meaning, they're not there in the sviva, so it helps you not be there individually. But trust me, they're dormant within you. And when I say that is, that maybe some of you will have the schus to live in the oil shel Torah your whole life, but many of you, that's not necessarily going to be the case. First of all, for some of you, we're still struggling with a lot that we're talking about, even while in yeshiva. And some of you have smartphones with access to things, even in yeshiva, which is the biggest mistake in the world. Hashem yirachem on your neshama. Get rid of it immediately if that's the case, if there's anyone I'm talking to. Maybe I'm not talking to anyone in this room. I hope I'm not. Hashem yirachem. But there's a come a time where it's going to be inevitable on some level, even for a lot of us. And I see it, and I deal with it. And I deal with plenty of people that were sitting in your exact seats that years later and are still learning and still davening and still struggling with taivas and other areas. And their life is one big kilim. Because they didn't, at this age, at this time in your life, make sure that, besides for it just happening naturally because you happen to be in yeshiva and the environment's so conducive, work on making sure that the moyach is shoylet aliv. In a real way. And that's who you are. In everything that you do. And there are no more falls. And there's no more... And it's the same. I'm that same person when I'm in yeshiva. I'm the same person when I'm out of yeshiva. My moyach is shoylet aliv. And how do you build that? Through serious amelus b'tayra. Because what builds our moach? To be stronger and stronger. The more Torah we learn, the more we connect with Hashem, the stronger my moach is to have the koyach to override the lev when the kaved might come pushing in. That's the koyach connected all the time. But the moach, which is the moach, is Torah. There's a Rav in Israel of Uri Zohar. I'm sure many of you heard of him. Makariv thousands and thousands of people. He himself was a Baal Tshuva. He was a big actor once upon a time. Someone once asked him, what do you think is the best way to be makariv an individual? What do you think he's going to say? Makariv individual? If you could get him to your Lel Shabbos Suda and have beautiful Zemiros and feed him delicious food. And you could, if you pull him into Simchas Torah, dancing with the Torahs, if you get him to a Purim Suda, forget about it. You're good to go. That's what we would think, right? You know what he said? The best way is set up a chavrusa with him. Sit and learn Torah with him. Why is that? Because the Torah is what's going to have an effect on his mayach. And then the mayach will be shoylet aliv. And slowly you'll come back and become a melech. And each and every one of us, we have to realize, and we have to be honest with ourselves, are we living as a melech? And not just by default. Am I getting there? Am I working on this? Am I building myself that I'm so strong? And if not, I have to work on this. Am I learning? Am I sifrei musar? To build my moyach to that point where I'm a melech. Because Torah can do that for us. Torah could lift everything else up to the state of malchus. There was a big tzaddik, snifter a few years ago, Rav Avram Janikowski. A lot of us know the Janikowskis. It's a relative of theirs. Rav Avram Janikowski, Zatzal. So he had a student once from Brazil. He had a Talmud from Brazil. It was a very good Talmud of his. And eventually this Talmud sent his own son to learn by him. Wanted his son to learn by the tzaddik, the goyner of Avram. And he gets there the first day. Rav Avram had a very special
kesher with his father and wanted this boy to be very matzliach. And he pulled him to the side and he gave him immediately. He looked at him and he said to him the following mashal to give him chizik for chashivas of Hamelos Betaira to be matzliach in the time that he's in yeshiva. He said that one time there was a melech, there was a king. And the king had a close friend. One day they were taking a walk in the garden of the palace. And suddenly the king got very, very thirsty. The friend, not only was a friend, but he wanted to recover to the melech. He says, okay, I'm going to go get a drink. And he runs back to the palace and he finds the king's gorgeous silver goblet. And he fills it up with cold water, and he finds this beautiful wooden tray with gemstones on it to bring to the king, because if you're going to give the king what to drink, it's the melech. You don't just give the king to drink in a white plastic cup. It's the melech. You have to show kavod to the melech. And he's walking through the gardens to get back to where the king was, and he's holding this tray and holding the goblet, and suddenly something was sticking out from underneath, and he trips. And he falls, and as he's tripping, he makes sure to hold on to the, and he's able to, he holds on to the kais so it doesn't spill so he can bring it to the king. But the tray fell out of his hands. And the tray fell to the floor, and there was a hole in the floor, in the ground over there, a little bit of a hole, like a trench. And it fell straight into the trench, straight into the ground. And he tries, he couldn't get it out. His mom is stuck in there, he couldn't get it out. He's trying, couldn't get it out. So first of all, he realizes nothing he could do, and he realizes the king's very thirsty. He's waiting for him. So first he runs to the king to give him what to drink. And he was such a close friend to the king, even though he was embarrassed and he knew it was hard to do, he admitted immediately to the king, you know, I'm so sorry I went, this beautiful tray fell on the ground, I can't get it. Okay, the king was calm, but the king would have liked the tray back, it was a beautiful tray. So he calls together his few advisors, it's Bala Eitza. And he explains and he shows, they go to look at it and they try, no one can get their hand in, it was too deep. So one of them says, okay, it's very easy, it was very simple. We just have to bang and bang and create a much bigger hole and then we'll pull it out, we'll make a bigger hole. So one of the other valets, one of the other advisors, says, it's not a good idea, if we do that, we risk breaking the tray. Right? You're going to bang and bang and bang, you might actually hit the tray in the midst of digging it out and you're going to break the whole tray, it's not going to be worth it. So they're thinking, what can we do? So another one of advice says, you know what we'll do? We'll make right next to where the ditch is, where the tray is, and we'll make another ditch. We'll make another hole. We'll dig down and then we'll make underneath a hole across. And we'll get something, we'll stick either our hands in or something, and we'll be able to push it up and we'll be able to get it. Oh, this is not a bad idea. It's a good, nice idea. But then one of the other bodies says, no, that's not a good idea. Because if you're going to break ground so close to this ground, it could be the whole ground will go crumbling down and bury the tray, you'll never be able to find it. So Chesed, what can we do? So one of the ladies says, I have it. It's a wooden tray. Wood floats. Let's fill the whole hole with mayim. We'll fill the hole with water. And as we fill it with water, the tray will float up to the top. And kachave, that's what they did. They filled it with water and it floated up to the top. Avraham Jankowski says, to his Talmud, his new Talmud, his Talmud's son. In life, there are going to be obstacles. In life, there are going to be difficulties. There are going to be times. There are going to be times when a tray falls in a ditch. Emayim el Torah. If we want to lift it out, we want to lift ourselves out, the Torah is going to be the key. The Torah could lift anything out, could lift us out from anywhere. The Torah is going to be that which always is our Shemira. The Torah is always going to be our Yeshua. Chevra, you have the greatest schus in the world. To be sitting and learning Torah Hashem with no other tirdas, with no other responsibilities. To learn Torah Hashem, your mamish the dor shoich leman. Your mom is the dor shoich leman. Ain't in the Torah the dor shoich leman, the Medrash says. You're the dor shoich leman. Do you understand that? How so?
In Parshas Beshalach, we're going to read about the man. It's going to be Laman and Senu. It should be a test for us. What's that? Everyone asks, what's the test of the man? A test. You remember tests back in the day? Tests were things that we don't look forward to. Tests, we have to prepare. It's a trial, tribulation is a test. The man, amazing bracha. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. Amazing bracha. What's the test of the man? So you're thinking, I know, most of you know the Ramban. Good, good, you're holding the Ramban. I'm not even going to say it. I know you know the Ramban. That's most famous. But others explain the Kli Yakar, Svarno a little bit. The test of the Man, okay, you're talking to each other what the Ramban is. You know the Ramban, of course you know the Ramban. The test of the Man was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us everything we needed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here, here's your parnasa, here's everything you need, it's all here. All right in front of you. Now what are you going to do with your time? Now you have all day. Are you going to grab onto that opportunity and learn and daven and serve me the way you're supposed to? You sitting here in yeshiva, you're the dor shoy chleiman. Your parents provided you with an opportunity to be a dor shoy chleiman. You have everything you need, everything you can want. It's all provided for you. Meals. You have nice new dorms now. Anything you need. So what are you doing with your time now? That's the Nisayon of the Man. That's your Nisayon in this world. Am I making sure to build a relationship with Hashem where I'm a melech? Am I making sure to build a relationship where I understand my moyach is al halev? My moyach shoyel al halev, which I see in all of my maisim. That's our avodah. And the more we're amal b'torah, the more we're moshe nefesh, and it has to be, by the way, mesiris nefesh b'torah. Not just learn Torah, mesiris nefesh for Torah. Because if we're only learning when it's not with tremendous mesiris nefesh means, as I said before, bein asdarim, late nights, early mornings, Fridays, Shabbos, Matzei Shabbos. So I'm teaching myself, yeah, I'll learn when it's so conducive, when I have it set up, and nothing else is going on, and I have my chavrusas, and I have my shir. But what's going to be one day when, you have a lot of other responsibilities? What's going to be when you're in finals in YU, or wherever it might be, and you have so much else on your plate, and one day you're going to be married with 4 or 5 kids, and you have a job that's 12 hours a day, and suddenly it's not so conducive, and suddenly you don't have yeshiva like you do now. Are you going to be moser nefesh for it then? If you're not moser nefesh for it now, you're not going to be moser nefesh for it then. You have to build Mesiris Nefesh with Torah. And build where I become a person where I'm a melech, my moyach is shoylet al-lev, and understand that comes from my connection to Torah, my connection to Hashem. And realize, boyal paro, don't think you have to do it alone. Hashem is by your side every single moment. Every time you open a Gemara, Ayin Nefesh Chaim, as we were speaking about before, you're learning Bechavrusa with the Rabbi Nisholam, Nefesh Chaim says. Boyal paro, he's with you. He's with you every moment. You could do it if you want to. To be an individual where I'm a melech. So Meretz Hashem, each and every one of us, should be zoicha to be a melech. Be zoicha, we're all mamlechas kayanim v'goy kadosh. Be zoicha to be a melech. Be zoicha to be a person who's one of Hashem in the deepest of ways. To build the kesher shel kayama with the Rabbi Nisholam. To live and understand and appreciate living the dar shel chleiman. And just a tremendous hatzlacha and bracha in all of your learning. Mitzvah Hashem should only lead to Simcha and Geula Yeshua for each and every one of you and everybody in Klal Yisrael.